I'm Elizabeth Reese, and this is Best to the Nest, the podcast that is all about creating strong, comfortable, beautiful nests that prepare us to fly. And I am flying solo, but not for long today, because Marjorie Punnett is out today. She's taking care of some family things, and she will be back with us next week. And as I told her, this is a no-stress podcast, so it's no stress. If you can't make it, we're going to make it work. But I'm really excited about our conversation and our guest today. So if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you know that we've been sort of kind of inching in and delving into this intuitive eating conversation. And the voice of that for us is someone named Liz Winkey, who we have gotten to know on the podcast through two previous episodes. And I'm so happy that she's back with us again today. So Liz is a mental health therapist and an intuitive eating counselor. She joined Venture Therapy recently, and she educates people about the harm of diet culture. And she is working with people on an individual basis who are working on healing their body image and making peace with food. So Liz is a wife. She's a mom of four young boys. Her house is madness. And so she's very open about this. And she's all about the yoga, the coziness, cooking, and she loves coffee, I think maybe slightly more than Marjorie, which is saying a lot because Marjorie loves coffee. And Liz is here to talk about a word that I think has at its best not sat well with me, and at its worst has enraged me over the entire course of my life. Liz, hi. How's that for a setup?
Yes. Hello.
I'm so happy that you're here. Oh my gosh. Okay. It's so funny because, you know, you and I kind of have this like, this kind of connection where like things pop up and I know that we need to have a conversation. And as Marjorie always says, there's a still small voice within you that is sort of alerting you to things that you might want to pay attention to in your life. You posted something on Instagram and I thought in that moment, boy, I got to repost that. That was so good. That really resonated with me. And then you happened to text me, like you tracked my number and texted me later in that day about a message that you'd received about conversations that we'd been having on Best to the Nest. And so I knew that we had to talk more. I hope you were feeling that way as well.
Yes, I was. Yeah. I'm so glad that it like worked out. It was just such a funny like turn of events that kind of, you know, put us in each other's paths again.
It is totally a fascinating thing. Okay. Let's talk about your Instagram first, because people want to follow you and they want to see what you're doing. I reference what you post a lot and I've reposted a lot of it. You recently changed your Instagram handle. Fill everybody in on how they can find you.
Yes. So it's at liz.is.listening.
Yeah.
So, I have kind of, well, during the pandemic, I wasn't able to do quite as much yoga as I used to because, you know, we're doing yoga from home with four kids is not zen at all.
No, it's like worse than goat yoga.
Yeah, totally. And my practice, while it's mostly centered around body image and intuitive eating, I also work with clients healing from trauma and other mental health stuff. So I just kind of thought that it fit a little bit better with kind of all of the work that I do, but mostly up my Instagram is centered around this, this topic.
So. I love that. That's great. Okay. So the word that I mentioned that has just really, I have received this word as an observation about myself and the clothes that I'm wearing many, many, many times, probably thousands of times. Yeah. I think that is because, I have a body type that doesn't necessarily tend to fit in with exactly what society tells us we should have, right, Liz? I mean, I think that's the way that it is.
Yes.
And so this word has always made me feel bad, to say the least.
Yeah, it's cringy.
And the word is?
Flattering.
Flattering. The word is flattering. So when you posted recently on your Instagram, this is what got me thinking about flattering. And you actually didn't even use the word flattering in your Instagram post, but you posted a photo of yourself from the behind with your cute booty hanging out and in your little pants and a tank top, and it's adorable. And you wrote, "Wear what you want," is what you started with. I have jiggly arms and dimpled legs and back rolls. I spent far too much time, most of my life even, trying to conceal, camouflage, and tuck away my flaws, in quotes. It consumed my thoughts, my emotional energy, my money. It invaded vacations, date nights, workout classes, family photos. Eventually, though, I decided that the negative thoughts I assume other people think about my body are none of my business. You went on to say, tank tops don't hide my arms like t-shirts do, and colored leggings don't conceal my cellulite like black ones do. Two-piece swimsuits don't have tummy slimming panels like many one pieces do, but I like them. They're comfortable and I think they're cute. And guess what? That's enough. Life's too short to spend energy obsessing over how we look. Wear what you like, wear what feels comfortable, start small. And you went on and talked about, really in a beautiful way, just inspiring people to try to do this. And I, and the word flattering came to mind right away, because for my job, you know, I've been in probably a million styling sessions and photo sessions and trying on outfits and, you know, style. My style has kind of evolved on the show, but one thing has remained consistent, which is that people are always telling me when something is flattering. And I always think to myself, what you're saying when you tell me that what I'm wearing is flattering is that that outfit does a good job of hiding all of the things that you don't want to look at when it comes to my body. Am I off base here?
No. I mean, honestly, it is a nice way of saying this makes your body look closer to the body ideals that we all have internalized over the course of our life. Like, you know, I mean, those body ideals tend to be small waist, long legs. So flattering means it defined a thinner waist. Flattering means your legs look a million miles long. And while those aren't necessarily bad things, it's just that if your body doesn't conform to an hourglass shape or long, thin limbs, then your goal, or your goal should be to do everything you can to either camouflage that or try to make it more so that way. Wear, you know, high-waisted pants with a shorter top to make your legs look longer. Wear something that defines the waist to make your waist look thinner and your hips look a little rounder, like to, you know, the curves.
Yeah.
It's just, it's all geared towards body ideals. So saying that's flattering is a nice way to say that makes you look more like you should.
That makes you look more like you should.
Yeah.
That is like so good and so bad. At the same time. And, you know, it's never sat well with me. I have actually banned it from certain like shopping things. Mm-hmm. And I've been, and, you know, this, I don't know if it sounds like a diva behavior. I guess I don't really care that much. But I've said to, you know, people who've been out with me shopping for looks for various things. Whatever it is, I've said, I do not want anyone to say the word flattering when we are in this fitting room. I just don't want it, because it just doesn't make me feel good. It is automatically going to make me think like I'm not good enough and I need to do better by putting these clothes on.
Yeah.
And it's going to ruin this experience for me. And I have to find things that I think I look good in, that I feel good in, that fit what we're trying to accomplish with whatever, you know, work thing.
Yes.
And the word flattering just doesn't fit into that for me.
Right. Well, and it makes it, it emphasizes, I think, even more the idea that other people are scrutinizing our body. So for you standing in a styling session, someone saying, oh, that's so flattering, means you're looking at how small my waist is. You're looking at how long my legs are. You're looking at how curvy I look. You're looking at how flat my stomach is. Like, saying it's flattering means that you are looking, and of course people are looking at our bodies. We live in a world where we see people. So there's nothing wrong with seeing each other's bodies, but you are scrutinizing it for how closely is it resembling the ideal or what it should be looking like.
Right. Versus what? I mean, I guess, I don't know, when I see someone in like a color that really pops and like brightens up their face, I think like, oh my gosh, like that hot pink is amazing on you, or whatever. And do you feel like there's, it's easy to articulate the difference?
Yeah. I mean, I think it really is about what is the root behind it, or like, what's motivating the comment? Is it you look your best, or you look, you know, that color really complements your skin tone, or, you know, that pattern is so fun and it expresses your personality, or, you know, like, look at you in that jumpsuit. I haven't seen you wear something like that before. That's fun.
Yeah, or you know, like, I can tell you feel good in that.
Yes. Yes. Like those, it's not the goal, I think. And people come up against this too, when I have posted about like, and I think we've talked about this before, when I've posted about not making comments on people's bodies in general, like, have you lost weight? And, you know, you look so skinny and that kind of stuff. Again, I just feel like people kind of push back on this. Like, I'm just giving them a compliment, or I would think that that would make them feel good, that that makes your body look a certain way or whatever. But really all it does is continue to keep the focus on our bodies and keep make us feel like we need to change, shape, maintain certain looks. But you know, people don't really love when I critique what compliments you should or should not be making on bodies, but that's
fine. You know, I get that. I think why people get uncomfortable is because then they're like, well, I don't know what to say. I mean, people get uncomfortable when they don't know what the alternative is. And I think it's happening with like so many tough conversations that were happening 100%. In our society. It's like, I can't say anything. Now you're saying I can't say anything. And I don't even know what to do. I found, and I think we talked about this before, that one good, helpful tip that I heard, now I can't even remember who said this, but it was someone very wise who said, make a comment about something other than a person's appearance right when you see them. And if you can just kind of trick yourself into that groove where instead of going, oh my gosh, you look so thin, or, oh, you look, have you been out in the sun? You look tan, like those kind of things, making a comment like, it feels, oh, I know who this was. It was Annalisa Niemela. She's amazing. She's been on the podcast. She said, make a comment to somebody like, it's so great to see you. Yeah. You know, I've missed seeing you. Like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy to be. And now that's sort of a little bit more natural because we haven't seen people in here. But if you kind of take that initial appearance-based observation out of your conversation in terms of like the first thing that you say when you encounter someone, I think that's kind of like the first step to just sort of dismantling it a little bit.
Totally. And while I have worked a lot on like not commenting on people's bodies, I think I still have work to do on this too. I mean, like even just you and I hopping on here, the first thing I said was cute hair, you know, and again, it's not like that's a bad thing to say. Like, of course it feels good to be complimented on someone else thinking you look good, feels good. Mm-hmm. Of course it does. But it's when it starts to feel like that's the only valuable thing about you or the only thing that people notice about you. And then it's like, well, if someone compliments me on my hair or my makeup or my clothes or whatever, that's again, fine. But then is it okay if I show up with dirty hair up in a messy bun and smudged mascara and like dirty workout clothes? Like, is it okay for me to present myself like that too? Or do I start to feel like the only way to be presentable or to be accepted by other people is to look a certain way?
Yeah.
So I think it really depends on the context. I personally think body comments are never helpful even in any context, but I do think it gets a little dicey about like, you know, cute hair or love your outfit or whatever. I think that's fine. It's more like if you never compliment anything about anyone besides what they look like, it can start to feel objectifying.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. I think you're totally right. Okay. Let's talk about then our clothes, why we wear what we wear and how diet culture, in your opinion, has really infiltrated what we're choosing. Because it is, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous to say like, well, I just choose what I wear based on my own style. I mean, that's like a nice thought, but you really don't. Haven't you ever watched The Devil Wears Prada when Meryl Streep talks about like the choices of the colors and why these choices are made and then it's all marketed to us and we're told by high end, low end, everywhere what we should be wearing?
I mean, let's be real that it's like capitalism at the end of the day, but that's a whole, you know, we can go there another time maybe. But I think like how we choose what we wear often has a lot to do with how we feel about our bodies or how we want to feel about our bodies. Like certain things need to be hidden. Certain things need to be concealed, de-emphasized, and others should be emphasized or displayed. And that really depends on, you know, your body and how closely it fits the body ideals, which are ever changing. So even if you do your very best by doing all the right things to shift your body to that, it's, you know, it changes again. And
it's
so,
a moving target.
But I think that often if you actually, and it's subconscious, I feel like you're probably not always actively thinking, I chose this shirt because of this, or I chose these pants because of this. But at the root of it, when you're trying clothes on, often what you're thinking is, how small do I look really in this, or how does it hide the things that I'm uncomfortable with or that other people might be uncomfortable with? How will other people see me based on what I'm wearing? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think diet culture does infiltrate that in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it does. And I think, you know, and you can think about this as yourself, like, you know, you reach for certain things when you're feeling a certain way about your body and certain things when you're feeling a different way about your body. You know, I mean, for me, it's like high-waisted leggings if I'm feeling, and some of that, it comes down to comfort and feeling like, well, today I'm wearing high-waisted leggings because these jeans are going to feel very uncomfortable.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, we all went through like almost a whole year of not wearing real pants. So like, let's have a little compassion.
You know, I didn't wear jeans until like the fifth grade. I could not handle jeans until I was like a solid 10, maybe 12 years old. I don't even know, because I just hated how they felt. I never understood why people were like, jeans are a comfortable clothing item. I still don't think they're that comfortable.
My boys act like jeans have like needles in them. Like if I try to put them in jeans for like church or something, they're like, oh, why do we have to wear these? As if they're like the worst thing ever. And I mean, at the end of the day, like I can semi agree with them, but
I think that I can too. I wonder how, you know, how it works when we're constantly looking for other people's approval with our clothes. Mm-hmm. And I think even more so, we're just looking to not be disapproved of, like you're just kind of looking to like pass by so that someone isn't going, oh, she shouldn't be wearing that's a comment a lot, like this person could wear that, she shouldn't be wearing that.
I can't pull that off, she can pull that off, or she really can't pull that. I mean, there's a lot of like very covertly but overtly negative comments about other people's bodies that are made in passing that are very just accepted, that, you know, we just even thinking about like watching the show The Bachelor, like the whole first night when they're parading out of the, maybe you don't watch The Bachelor.
Yeah, of course I do. Obviously. What kind of human do you think I am?
Thank you. Good. I knew we could be closer. parading out of the limo. The first thing you automatically do with your girlfriends, if you're watching the show, is like critique the dresses and the hair and the whatever. But with that also comes a lot of like, oh, that's not flattering, or oh, look how tight that is on that, or like that doesn't look, you know. So it crosses a line very quickly. And the thing about that is when you're talking about other people's bodies around other women, even if it's not a direct comment toward you, you're automatically internalizing that. So like saying that dress doesn't look good on her makes you go, I wonder what they think when I wear that dress, or I wonder what they think when I wear these pants. I think, again, it is another reminder that people are paying attention and scrutinizing people's bodies and criticizing. And it's why body comments are just toxic, because automatically you assume, or you start to be more self-conscious about your own body because of other people making comments about not even your body, other people's bodies.
Well, and that's where it gets so tricky though, because like fashion is fashion. So, I mean, I could see a dress that you're wearing, you know, I could see a dress that you're wearing and go and think, oh, I don't really like that dress.
Yeah, totally.
But, I mean, I don't know if that necessarily has to always translate in, I don't like your body. I think it just means like, I don't really like that dress. That's where I feel like people get kind of tripped up a little bit. Are like, are we supposed to just go,
I love everything.
I always tell people, you know, people will email me and be like, I hate that you wore.
Yeah, thank you for that.
I just like to welcome you to my life. Yeah. And I write back and I just go, no, I used to. I don't write back anymore, but I used to. And I would say, there's just no way that you are going to like every single thing that I wear. I don't even know how this is like a remote possibility that you would think that you as a human being will like every single thing that I as a human being should wear, nor should I be held to some sort of standard that I need to please. If I start thinking I have to please every single person with what I wear, here's what I would literally be wearing. I would be wearing a black long sleeve dress every single day. Yeah. And then someone would still comment, why don't you ever wear enough color? You look like you're going to a funeral every day.
Yeah. 100%. You can't please everyone. And the bottom line is like your body and your clothes and your hair and your whatever are not for someone else to admire or for someone else to desire. Like you're more than your body and your appearance. You have a lot of things to offer. We all have a lot of things to offer. And when we stop seeing our bodies and other people's bodies as things to be consumed, and and admired and looked at, rather interacted with. It really, I think it shifts the narrative a lot. There's a book that came out, I think this last summer, it hasn't been out that long, but it's called More Than a Body. Mm-hmm. And if I could recommend like one body image book to anyone, it would be this one. And it is, the whole idea of it is about moving from objectification and self-objectification to self-actualization. So like, am I a body to be looked at, or is my body something that I can live in and experience the world through? Yeah. And I think that it's a really powerful shift, and it's a hard one in our culture, because that's not, you know, what's inside that counts is like not really what our society goes by.
That's such a lie that we say, that we like,
yeah, totally.
And then sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I mean, that's right, outrageous. Yeah. Who is teaching that? What's happening here? Yeah, they hurt a lot. And this is why people end up calling you for therapy, because.
Yeah. I wrote down a quote as I was kind of thinking about this conversation from that book. And I think it kind of speaks exactly to like what we're talking about. And it's, when you can see more in yourself than just a body, appearance related disruptions, meaning like body comments from other people, will not have the power to sink you or send you into punishing cycles of hiding or fixing. You can hold that pain in balance with the knowledge that you are in control of your self-perception, and the understanding that other people's perceptions of you are shaped by objectifying ideals that you don't need to live up to.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the idea is that everyone's views, so when I say that outfit's really flattering on you, what's behind that is all of the internalized body and beauty ideals that I've taken in over the course of my life, that you've taken in over the course of your life, of what is best. But I don't have to subscribe to that anymore if I don't want to.
Yeah.
So I can step outside of that and decide that I understand that other people are seeing me through that lens, but I don't have to see myself and other people through that lens anymore.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. I think if you can just take the word flattering out of your vernacular when you're talking about clothes, sometimes you just have to like say, hey, guess what? That was a word that sometimes we would use. And maybe we told ourselves a story that it meant something different than what it does, but it definitely doesn't. And I think if most people look critically at being told that something they're wearing is flattering, they will quite quickly realize the backhanded nature of that compliment, and that it's not even at all a compliment. Yeah. And instead, I mean, if you think that you're looking at something and you go, Liz, oh my gosh, that is so cute on you, I think that's a totally different thing. Like, look how cute that is on you. Or, you know, because I think that's encompassing a whole person. And to me, that means you're making that cute. Like,
you have a great sense of style.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, this is funny because I think about so much in terms of a lens with my 6-year-old daughter, you know, and I know it's important to talk about bodies just as much with boys as it is with girls. That being said, I see so much
it's
of
a different world.
I mean, my Bernie is like a mini me. And so I see so much of how she's taking things in, just like I can just relate to being that age. And, you know, she is super into her clothes, Liz. Like, I mean, she is so into. This was part of the thing of where I thought it would be very difficult for me to send her to a school with uniforms, even though I'm not opposed to uniforms, simply because there is so much self-expression that happens with her and whatever she picks out.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a lot of layers.
Like, yeah, it's a lot of expression.
It's like so many tutus. But, you know, when she comes, she loves to come down the stairs and show me what she's wearing. And she goes, and Frankie does this too, but she comes down and she just goes like, hello, you know, and what's funny is it is about, you know, she thinks she looks great in that, and that's wonderful, but it's also about the process of her choosing, you know, because I'll notice like the details she'll put into it where I'll go, oh my gosh, Bern, I can see you have a unicorn on that shirt, and then those leggings have little tiny unicorns on them. You totally coordinated the unicorns, didn't you? And then she'll go, yes, I did. Yes. And so when you're thinking about that with kids, sometimes I think it's like it can simplify things when you just look at how would you talk to your child about this? Yeah. Think about how you can translate into talking that way to adults.
Yeah, totally. And also, I mean, I agree with that 100%. And also, I think that there are so many objectifying comments that are made to and about kids in front of them that are, I mean, little skinny mini, look how skinny she is. Look how tiny. Lo, you're such a peanut. Like, or look, he's really strong and he's kind of like beefed up, or like there's these comments that we think are innocuous that like aren't, is innocuous even the right word?
Yeah, it is. That's totally true. Good job. Well handled.
Yeah. All right. You know, that we think are benign, that are not this like whatever. But if you internalize that growing up, that I'm the skinny one, I'm the one that they always comment on, look how tiny she is. Yeah. Or I'm always the one that they say like, oh, he looks strong or buff or whatever. Like, think how that shapes a person. Because what if that little girl who grew up being a little skinny thing, you know, goes through puberty and all of a sudden is curvy and voluptuous and has, you know, more fat on her body as she's supposed to in puberty, but has been told her whole life and praised her whole life, or even if it's not a praise, it's just a comment. Yeah. You're so skinny, you're so tiny. All of a sudden she stops getting that. And then what? And then what does that mean? What is she telling herself about that? You know, like, I think it's important to like acknowledge that kids can express themselves through their clothes and like celebrate that and allow them to be kids and excited about colors and shapes and textures and all these things that happen, but being really careful not to make that about their body or how that emphasizes or de-emphasizes certain parts of look at that tiny little waist with that tutu or just like little things. It can quickly cross the line. But I think the clear line is it about the creativity and the fun and the like sparkles and the whatever, or is it about your body? And it's two different things. I think is exactly what you were saying too, about like, that looks so cute on you, or cute hair or whatever. That's about you like presenting yourself to the world and wanting other people to interact with that, but not about your body trying to fit something that it isn't or that it should be or whatever.
Yeah. I think that's such a good point. What do you think about how to handle if someone, because I'm just going to call out grandparents. I think grandparents can sometimes be bigger offenders with this stuff, with bodies, because I think there is a generational difference in terms of what comments were considered acceptable / beneficial / for your own good, in quotes. That there is, that a generation would say, and I learned this a lot through the hashtag Be a Julie, you know, movement and conversations that stemmed from a body shaming, a post I wrote about body shaming that went viral and real wild. And, and so I learned through some conversations that there are people who again, have just sort of told themselves this story that that's okay. Mm-hmm. So I know, you know, with your little boys, like if somebody made a comment about their body.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a mama bear. Like what's going to happen?
Yeah. I think it really depends on the context. So who is the person? Is it some random lady stranger at Target in the line, or is it grandma? Mm-hmm. You know, something like that, I think makes a big difference how I would handle it. I haven't actually handled or had that specific thing happen, but I did have, sorry, Dad, I'm going to call you out on this, but I did have, my dad has done some dieting and whatever. Anyway, that doesn't really matter. But he, at one point a few years ago, was like doing a diet. And so he wasn't eating the same food as us at the dinner table. He was over for dinner. And one of my sons made a comment about like, how come you're not eating spaghetti or whatever it is? And he said, oh, it's because Papa has a really big belly. And it was like he was like trying to be self-deprecating with it. But what that communicates to my kids is, if you have a big belly, you have to eat a different way. Or if I eat this, I'm going to get a big belly. Or there's just like lots
of
things.
And a big belly is bad.
And a big belly is bad. Exactly. And so it was one of those things where, again, like intention is important to acknowledge. He was not in any way trying to be harmful or hurt anyone or, you know, send a bad message or anything like that. But I did it then later kind of pull him aside and just say like, hey, I just think it's really important. By the way, this is before I got into all this work, and he, you know, things have changed a lot in my family since then, but just pulled him aside and just said like, hey, I just think it's really important that we don't make comments about bodies, our own bodies or their bodies in general. I just think it's not really helpful, and I would, you know, just appreciate. I said it in a nice way. It's not like I was like, Dad, what's your problem? You know, like made a big deal out of it, but it was just like, hey, and he was kind of like, oh, okay. I hadn't really thought of it that way. And you know, it doesn't have to be a thing. If he wants, he can eat however he wants around my kids, but instead of saying, you know, something about his body, he could have just said like, oh, I'm just choosing to eat this today, or, yeah, you know, this sounds good to me, or, you know, whatever. Like, I think just the importance of keeping conversations away from bodies in a negative way is really, or even in what you think is a positive way, but isn't. I just think body comments in general are really dicey, and it's better to just avoid them entirely, yeah, and set some boundaries around what people talk about. And having a conversation, if it's someone that's in your life that will be around your kids a lot, I think having a respectful conversation and just saying like, hey, this is kind of what we're really trying to work on at our house. I'd appreciate it if you could kind of respect that when you're around the kids, and they love you and look up to you. And I just think you could be a really great support to us in that, you know, something like that.
Yeah, I think that's good. And even like a preemptive conversation might be worth having for people that you might know.
Yes.
Is a threat. Exactly. Because, you know, in a lot of, and now you're the professional in this, I'm just like an observer, but in a lot of the research I did and have done on this topic, I mean, people, there is a significant percentage of people who suffer with eating disorder symptoms,
yes,
that can remember the pivotal moment, the comment that sent them into,
yeah,
that tailspin.
Yeah.
And I mean, yep, and I mean, during that whole thing, I got so many messages from people who were telling me, you know, it was my grandma said this, and mm-hmm, I don't know. And so I kind of think like, I actually had a little bit of this conversation. I was interviewing nanny candidates, mm-hmm, for the summer, and mm-hmm, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord, I'm getting a nanny. This is going to, yes, like life change. This is changing everything. She's going to fold some laundry too. I can't even stand it. I'm perfect, so excited. So, but even that, I had kind of preemptively had that conversation about, yeah, like, okay, here's how we sort of look at food. Here's what, yeah, we, because I also like, I think it's important to be upfront about like, if you're going to take my kids to the pool, we're not like crushing Ring Pops every single minute, you know, like,
yeah. Yeah,
you know, I think, yeah, having those kinds of boundaries of like, how do we handle that? And then also having that conversation about, this is how we talk about that stuff is important, yeah, because, yes, I don't even know if you can undo, sometimes you can't undo the damage after the fact.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing too. It's like, I have so many clients that I work with that have like a, like you said, a pivotal moment of someone saying like, look how great you look, when they literally were suffering from like an issue with their gallbladder for over a year that wasn't diagnosed.
Yeah.
And that sent them into a tailspin of disordered eating once they started to recover from the issue and started gaining their weight back,
yeah,
as they should have. So it's like, you don't know what someone is dealing with behind the scenes. It could be grief. It could be, you know, a relationship issue. It could be, you know, job stress. It could be anything. It could be intentionally trying to lose weight also. So I'm not saying that that's never, never there, but I just think emphasizing people's bodies, you don't know what that does long term. Mm-hmm. Even if in the moment it feels good, the spiral that it can bring on is really dangerous. And I think there's so many other amazing things about people that we can comment on that have nothing to do with their body.
Yeah.
I mentioned like accepting your body at whatever size it's at is a great, or loving your body, like thinking you look great at any size is a good thing. At the same time, our bodies are meant to change over the course of our life. So the goal being, I love the way I look, doesn't really get us so far, because we get older, our bodies change, right, things happen. And so can we get to a place where our bodies are good because that's what we live our life through, not our bodies are good because of how they look.
It's almost like getting a little bit more neutral, I guess, with it.
Neutral. Yep. Body neutrality is kind of the new, like, body positive has kind of come under some scrutiny for a lot of reasons. And body acceptance or body neutrality is kind of the newer phrase.
Boy, so I said it and I didn't even know that. Look, it was a hot trend.
Ahead of the times.
Oh my gosh. How did I do that? That's amazing. Yeah. I think you're right about that. And I think I focus so much more on like how I've been feeling, you know.
Yeah.
It's interesting, especially because, you know, I'm 7.5 months, almost 8 months postpartum, mm-hmm, with baby number 3, which is like no joke.
Yeah.
And all these funny things happen, and I'm almost 40. So I turned 40, yeah, this summer. So it's like this kind of big shift.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, my whole motivation for having, for even just starting to like do some minimal workouts and kind of like get stronger was because I was getting really sick of having to use my arms to push myself up out of the rocking chair when I was holding Heathy. Cause I was like, I don't have, like, I only have two hands. I've got to hold this baby and I want to be able to just get up out of the chair without, which you obviously cannot do after you've had a baby. I mean, your abs are like shot.
You have no core
strength whatsoever. And then when I got to that point where I can like just get up, I thought like, well, this feels great, you know?
And
I think, and I wasn't even thinking about like, what's that going to look like? It was purely about function. Have you found that if people start to focus on like how good a function feels, that's a different animal than what I'm seeing in the mirror. Like, I just want to move about my life effortlessly. I don't want to feel like it's just like this constant like heaviness to try to like get in and out of things. And after you're pregnant, you really have a sense of that. Like, I got in my car after I had Heathcliff and I was like, I didn't need a new car. I just needed to not have like this baby in between me and the steering wheel.
Yes, totally. Totally. Yes. I think that's exactly it. It is moving from, I think, appearance to function.
Yeah.
And even in the book that I referenced, More Than a Body, they talk about your body as an instrument, not an ornament. Mm-hmm. So it's not something to be looked at. It's something to be used and lived through. And so it's not a bad thing to want to be more mobile, to want to be stronger, to want to whatever. But are you doing that because stronger means more toned? Or are you doing that because stronger means stronger? So that you can do other things. So you can move around your life and not have to have it be as strenuous. Like, are you doing it? I think getting really clear about your intention is super important because then if you start to get stronger, but your body hasn't changed at all, is that enough? Or are you going to stop what you're doing or revamp what you're doing because you are actually wanting aesthetic changes, not functional changes? And so I think focusing on what your body can do, what you appreciate about your body, how your body allows you to live the life you want to live, rather than how it looks in a picture or how other people perceive you or how you look in clothes or whatever.
Okay, so back to clothes.
Yeah.
What do you want us to think when you are like, ideally, when you're picking out your clothes, so we're opening the closet doors. Maybe some of you live in the suburbs and have massive walk-in closets. That's wonderful. Yeah. Have them open up the doors.
Yeah.
And you've got hopefully everything color coded and it's like really, and you have great lighting in there and it just, and it's all, there's like acrylic boxes with cute labeling and everything feels great. So that's step one. but when you're choosing something to wear, how do you want us to feel? Nothing drives me crazy. This is a difficult thing, I think, particularly every time I've been postpartum, is that it makes me feel very frustrated when I have to choose what to wear based on what fits. And that bugs me.
Yes.
To no end. Yes. I want to choose what I want to wear just based on what I want to wear. Not based on what fits. And that's just the situation that I'm in as I sort of evolve a little bit and kind of find my new normal.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this can get really tricky because people are really, really, really resistant to the idea of buying new clothes if they're larger sizes. They're not at all resistant to buying new clothes when you're losing weight.
Oh, sure. No.
But when
suddenly you have no budget.
Yes. But when you're gaining weight, a lot of times what I hear is I can't afford to buy new clothes or I don't want to go buy new clothes. I don't want to whatever. And I get that. I really do. And also I understand that it's a financial burden to buy clothes, but we're buying clothes no matter what. Like, you have to put clothes on your body. Mm-hmm. So you can do that within whatever budget you have. If that means you sell a bunch of clothes on Poshmark and you buy some new ones with that money, if that means that you shop the clearance rack at Target, like, that's all fine. So I'm not saying like, go to such and such store and buy a whole new wardrobe.
Right.
But I think not having clothes that fit is one of the number one holdups I see of people not wanting to make peace with food, is that they're afraid of gaining weight and they don't want to have to buy new clothes. I think a lot about not having clothes that fit you as like, imagine you're walking around all day with a rock in your shoe.
Oh.
And then you're like, how come all I can think about is my foot? Like, what is wrong with me? All I think about is my foot. My foot is huge. Something's wrong with my foot. No, it's because you have a rock in your shoe. So like, of course your brain goes straight to the rock and the pain that you feel. So think about wearing jeans that are too tight for you.
Yeah.
All you can think about is how tight your jeans feel, which automatically makes you feel bigger because the clothes are pinching and squeezing.
And you're pulling them up. Yeah.
It's not that your body is big. It's that your clothes are too small and they make you focus on your body even more. So having clothes that fit you at every stage you're at, in whatever budget you can make that work. If that means you buy one pair of pants that fit you and you wash those babies constantly, or, you know, you have a couple options or whatever dresses that are more flowy, like you can go buy these like awesome swing dresses at Old Navy for $12. Yeah. Like it doesn't have to be the fanciest thing, but get a few items that fit, that feel comfortable, that you can grab and go, that you don't have to think about, and you don't have to constantly be thinking, oh, I shouldn't have eaten that because now my jeans feel even tighter. Yeah. Or whatever. Like the tighter your clothes are and the more they don't fit, the more you're focused on your body, the more you probably restrict or feel like you need to restrict your food. It all just blends. So that would be my number one, like, please just buy a few items of clothing that fit you and that feel good when you wear them, so you don't have to think about your body all day long.
Yeah. And then think about all the mental space. I mean, this is what we've talked about before. Yeah. When we're constantly just running through our head about all these stories and all of this like discomfort and all of this feeling like we're not good enough and we're not fitting in and these are all the things I need to be doing to change and blah, 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 blah. It's like, I can't even believe that we can get anything else done.
Right. And then we wonder why we're so stressed. It's because we have this constant level of like body scrutiny and body checking going on top of everything else in our life.
Right.
And we're overwhelmed. And once you take that out, and again, it will never fully go away in the society that we live in. Like the idea that we're going to get to this destination where I love everything about my body, no matter what, like I personally think is probably an unrealistic goal and also misses the mark. If we can just get to the place that like, my body is my body, period. Like this is my body. This is what it is. And I can be as neutral as possible about it and respect and care for it, no matter what it looks like.
Right.
To me, that's a win. And self-care comes down to certain things like, you know, feeding yourself good food, buying clothes that fit, washing your hair. Like, I mean, it doesn't have to be like bubble baths and manicures. It like buying clothes that fit your body as it is right now is self-care.
Yeah.
Like so we're gonna talk about like taking care of yourself and respecting your body. Like that's the way to do it.
And you know, and I might even argue self-care goes even too far. It's just a basic necessity.
Yeah. 100%.
It's like even just, it's the bare minimum. Yeah, yeah. It's the bare minimum. It's not like this sort of luxury thing. It is just the bare minimum to have like, you know, garments that cover your body appropriately for whatever weather condition and then
allow you to like move around and feel comfortable and not sit there and like, you know, getting like stomach aches because your clothes are squeezing.
Oh gosh. Hard. Yeah. I've been there. Yeah. Like when I was in a real trauma and could not get maternity pants because the world was shut down, Liz, and you couldn't go to a store nor could you get them delivered in time. And so I was shoving into my normal jeans. With this pregnancy, because I'd given away all my maternity clothes thinking that Franklin was my last baby. And then here we were, and I was like, this is a nightmare.
Yeah.
Okay. So before we go, because we could chat, I think, I mean, you know, we could do like 10 episodes, but, I want to go back to that initial Instagram post.
Yeah.
And that the colored, and they were like these cool, like olive kind of taupe colored, workout leggings that you are wearing. What brand are those, by the way? Those are very great.
Athleta.
I love Athleta.
I know.
I'm wearing Athleta ones right now. And all of my Athleta leggings are my absolute favorite. And they've got some high-waisted ones that are the most buttery soft of any that I own.
I know. And now they carry up to size 3X in the store. And it's all with the same size. So it's like extra small up to 3X are all in the same pile.
And they don't make a big deal about it in their advertising.
No.
Yeah.
No, I love that. I mean, and that's a whole nother thing about inclusivity and stuff, but I just love that they're making strides towards it not being like this marginalized thing where you have to go to the, you know, back corner of the store where your stuff is, like it all together.
Yeah, I love that too. I think that's great. Yeah. So when because every time you put on those leggings, I have to imagine, as evolved and educated and daily committed work that you are in this.
Yeah.
You don't live in a bubble. And so you probably hear a little voice that says, you should put on the black ones.
Yep, 100%.
So then what happens to you? And what should we do then in that moment?
I think, honestly, I have to be really mindful of when I decide I'm going to do that and push myself a little bit outside of what might be my comfort zone and when is not a good time for me to do that. Like, for me, maybe TMI, like, right before that time of the month is not a time for me to like put on something that I maybe feel a little more like, ooh, you know, not uncomfortable, but just like feel like maybe I am more paying attention to what my body looks like So there's, or if I'm having an especially rough body image day, which I still have sometimes, that wouldn't be the day that I won, like go look at family pictures, go try on new clothes, put on something that I feel a little more uncomfortable in than my other things. So I'm really mindful of when I push myself to do things like that and when I don't. Also, like, it's not like a badge of honor that you can, like, if walking around in a one-piece swimsuit that you feel good in is not any worse than walking around in a bikini that you feel good. I mean, it's not about that. It's more just
it's
like...
It's not about, like, maximum exposure. It's not like, just because you don't have to go... The neutrality is different than the opposite of what you don't want. I mean, you don't have to go, society tells me that I should be wearing a one piece. So I am going to wear a thong bikini 100%. With my hiney ho hanging out. I mean, that's not the goal here.
Yes. It's more like, do I like this? Do I want to wear it? And am I going to let my body being what it is, hold me back from wearing something that I like, that I feel comfortable in, that I feel cute in, that, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Am I going to let, I'm going to the gym and I'm wearing these olive green leggings. When I do a squat, someone behind me might see cellulite on my legs. Is that going to stop me? Or do I look in the mirror and go, these are fun. I like them. Kind of a fun change from black. Like, I think I saw someone else wearing them and that looked cute. You know, I just think I can push myself a little bit outside of that comfort zone. And when I have those thoughts about what the person behind me or the person at Target or whatever might think, I can remind myself of my values, which is that I am more than my body and I have autonomy and I get to do and wear what I want with my body, and other people's opinions of me are none of my business. And I don't need to like live up to this idea of trying to appease what other people might think. Cause one, I don't know what they think. And two, it doesn't really matter.
It's a losing battle, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such and I know thank goodness, not everyone has to get as many messages about themselves as I do, but you are just never going to win. And I mean, you're just not. And it's just ridiculous to try. It's like. Yes.
And they're just as locked in that body ideal objectification world as I once was. So I can have compassion for that, but also decide I don't have to subscribe to that anymore. So what they're thinking, they're seeing me through a lens that I don't agree with anymore.
Yeah.
So their opinion is sort of irrelevant. And, you know, that's it.
It's so good, Liz. It was really great. I loved reading the post. I love seeing everything that you're coming up with. And at the very end of your Instagram post that really inspired this conversation. And then of course my rage at the word flattering, but you write, you may not feel confident right away, but over time you can feel more comfortable. You can move toward neutral. It is possible. Yes. Even for you. And then, you know, you're just getting so many comments from people who are just like, this is what I needed. And I see another comment down here. I wish I'd spent less of my life worrying about all of those things. I mean, you have today and then you've got the rest of it and you have control over the way that you look at how you move through the world.
Yeah.
Every day going forward.
Yep. 100%.
You're the best. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And next time Marjorie will be here too. I know she's going to listen and I'm sure have lots of thoughts and it's just really great. And we'll have you back for sure. And if you are enjoying this podcast, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and give us a review at Apple Podcasts. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Best to the Nest or go to besttothenest.com to subscribe to our newsletter. We are the podcast that brings you home.